welcome everybody today. We have another full capacity audience. I want to welcome each of you along with our growing international audience. Over the next 20 to 30 minutes, we'll be covering a lot of ground, which includes actionable items that you and your team can start to use in your organizations and implement immediately. So please be ready to take a lot of notes. Our meeting is being recorded today, so you'll have the opportunity to listen to our conversation again and to share the ideas with your team members, with friends, and associations that you're members of. Our topic today is part of our Cracking the Personality Code series, Why Meditation Improves Performance, presented by a special guest and friend and globally renowned author Paul David Walker. Before we start, just a couple of housekeeping rules. Our session is being placed in lecture mode, so you'll have your phones muted to avoid background noise. And number two, if you have questions for Paul during our teleconference, please email him directly at his email, which is paul@pauldavidwalker.com. That's paul@pauldavidwalker.com. And he'll attempt to respond to your questions during our time together today. If we run out of time, or for those of you listening to the recording after the teleconference, please feel free to email Paul at any time, again, at paul@pauldavidwalker.com. He'll respond to your questions as quickly as possible. So let's begin. I want to introduce Paul David Walker to everyone. He is a close friend and truly a CEO coach, in that he has worked with many Fortune 500 CEOs, their staff and members, and mid-cap companies over the last 25 years. Paul will be sharing ideas that are presented in his book, which are clearly insightful for laying out strategies for yourself and your business, and that will have major impact on your organization through producing additional bottom-line revenue, along with creating an environment that will promote retention and attraction of top talent. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, along with countless manufacturing, utility, high-tech, and service organizations. Paul's book is a top seller, is entitled Unleashing Genius, Leading Yourself, Teams, and Corporations. He'll be sharing some of the secrets with you today on how to unleash genius within yourself and your team. We're privileged to have Paul with us today, and Paul, I want to welcome you.
Well, thank you. That's a lovely introduction. I'm going to enjoy talking to your audience. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is over the years of working with Fortune 500 and mid-cap CEOs and their teams, we would always take them off-site to, you know, discover their genius, to discover better strategies, you know, to build the quality of their business. And in those offsites, we would always have certain modules, modules on strategy, structure, and culture, modules on teamwork, modules on accountability, modules on coaching. And the one module that we always had and we always placed in the beginning of our offsites was a module we called Be Here Now. And Be Here Now is basically a reflective process that helped people calm their minds, quiet their thoughts, and get into the present moment, as the title would suggest. Now, going back, you know, 25 years, back into the early 80s, we surveyed, you know, each of those offsites, and the module, Be Here Now, was always the most popular, always got the highest ratings. And even to this day, that module gets higher ratings. And so you would ask probably, well, why would such a touchy-feely module be so popular amongst even financial service executives? And the answer to that is, you know, people are really longing to quiet their thoughts, to reduce their stress, and to find ways of reflection. And I'm going to teach you part of that module today. We're going to talk about that module, and I'm going to answer questions you might have about the whole notion of meditation and being in the present. I call it integrative presence. So, first of all, a question I always ask at the beginning of one of these sessions is, when do you get your best ideas? What's going on in your life when you get the best ideas. And people will always reflect on that. And here's typical answers that I hear. People will say, in the shower. People will say, when I'm jogging. People will say, oh, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll have a great idea. Or early in the morning, I'll have great ideas. Or if I'm walking in nature. And then the question is, what is going on at those times when you look at what's happening to you when you're in the shower? It's very quiet. The noise of the shower, the water pouring all over you, creates a sanctuary, if you will. And what happens is when you stop thinking too much, when your thoughts start to slow down, good ideas appear. You have an aha. So, in corporate America, of course, we want to have good ideas. We want to have high levels of performance. And you can't have a shower in your office, you know, to go take a shower before a good meeting or after a good meeting to get some ideas. You can't stop and jog and run around the block before a meeting. I guess you could run around the block and then take a shower and then go to the meeting. You'd be really in a clear space. You have to learn how, you know, to quiet your thoughts, to replicate these situations where you get these great ideas at will. The best CEOs that I've worked with have learned how to replicate this state of mind that I call integrated presence, that athletes call being in the zone, at will. They're able to let go of all their thoughts and fears and be in the moment. A great athlete, when they're driving to the basket, they don't have time to think, yo, should I go left or should I go right? They have to respond to the flow of the game. And likewise, a great leader or a great CEO has to do the same thing. So how do you do that? How do you get to the point where your mind is so clear, where your focus is so clear, that you can hit a ball, for example, in professional baseball, coming at you at 98 miles an hour? How do you get to the point where, as many great hitters have said, you can see the spin of the ball as it approaches? How do you do that? Well, I'm going to teach you a technique here that'll help you do that, help you be a better executive and reduce the stress in your life dramatically. It's a reflective technique. It's a meditation technique. And, you know, what is meditation? Meditation is practice. It's training yourself to be in the moment, training yourself on how to let go of your thoughts, training yourself on accessing that state of mind that is more powerful than the normal state of mind. I'm sure all of you have been in the zone at one time or another and had a chance to feel and experience that state of mind. And in the following reflective, I'm going to give you a chance to actually experience that, to remember that, and to get to understand your roadmap into that state of mind. So we'll do two things. We're going to introduce a practice, and we're also going to stimulate your thought and help you understand yourself a little better. So in order to do this, we need you to, you know, sit up straight in your chair and close your eyes. Now, if you have trust issues with someone in the room, then perhaps you can, you know, move away from them. But just close your eyes and take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And it's been proven that two or three deep breaths will calm your mind. If you're stressed, how many times has someone told you to take a deep breath? Well, it is true. It calms your mind. So we're going to take three deep breaths together. And you'll take it in and you'll hold it. And then you'll let it go. sigh and try to completely empty your lungs. So let's take the first one in now. Take it in. Take it in. Hold it. Let it out. Take another one in, even deeper this time. Hold it. Let it out. One more time. Take it in even deeper. Hold it. Hold it. And let it out. Now just begin to breathe normally. Just inhale and exhale in your normal fashion. But deepen the inhale just a bit, maybe 10 or 15%. And deepen the exhale a little bit, maybe 10 or 15%. And as you deepen the rhythm and cadence of your breathing, start to find a rhythm that's comfortable for you at a little deeper level. Just get comfortable with that rhythm. As you inhale, feel energy coming into your body. And as you exhale, just feel any stress or tension falling away. Let your chair cradle you. Just lean back into it. As thoughts arise, which they will do, instead of resisting them, just let them go. Let them float away. Let them fall off. Just find a deep place of relaxation for yourself. Always return to your breathing. You can feel the air coming in your nostrils. If there are any distractions, just go back to your breathing and pay attention to your breathing. And as you get relaxed in this deeper state, I'm going to ask you to find a place in nature, a place that you love, a warm place, a beautiful place. You can feel the breeze blowing through the trees, hear the rustle of the leaves. Perhaps you can hear the ocean. Find this deep, beautiful home for your reflection. You'll do this every time. Feel yourself surrounded by comfort and warmth. Now we're going to take a journey. I want you to go back to a time in your life, in your mind, when you were in the zone, when everything seemed to flow effortlessly, when the activity that you were involved in, whether it be sports or business or being out on a hike in nature, just seemed to come easy, just seemed to flow with very little effort. You've all had that experience at some point. was just a moment of laughter after a very funny joke. Find that story for yourself. Live in it for a moment. And as you come out of the meditation, ask yourself, how is that state of mind different from your normal state of mind? How do you feel? I'm going to ask you to email in how you feel in that state of mind. And I'm going to ask you to email in how it's different than your normal state of mind. And number three, I'm going to ask you to email in what your results were. Were they greater or less than normal? So as people are emailing in, I have just noticed that we've had a number of people joining us. I want to welcome you all to Cracking the Personality Code series. I'm a guest on the show today. The show is entitled Why Meditation Improves Performance. My name is Paul David Walker, author of Unleashing Genius, Leading Yourself, Teams, and Corporations. I've asked people to email in some questions, and I'm going to give some answers to some of those questions here in a moment. So I see the number of emails, and one of them describes how this person felt when they were in the zone, when they were in that state. And a number of them describe that, and the words like calm, peaceful, powerful, focused, energized, at ease, graceful. Seems like it's a universal experience. People find that deep and yet powerful place, because I see from the emails in response to the question, are results greater or less, that the results are much greater. Of course, results are just incredible when you're in the zone. I had a close friend who's a sports psychologist whose job it was to teach athletes how to get into the zone, how to get into that place. And what you just experienced is some practice that sports psychologist Gary Mack recommended. Simple, reflective, meditative exercise is practice for your mind and body at getting into this state, this clear state of mind that produces such wonderful performance. And I see in the emails as well some questions, and I hope to answer some of those questions with, you know, a few bullet points that tell you how to use this. I think many of the questions, question from Joe is, this is great, but, you know, how do I meditate at work? You know, isn't this a little strange? Wouldn't this be a little bizarre? You know, and the answer to that question, Joe, is yes, yeah. I'm not saying in the middle of a board meeting you just tell everybody to stop because you need to meditate to quiet your mind. But what I do recommend is before a meeting, if you're in your car or you're in the lobby, you know, you can just sit quietly and you don't necessarily need to close your eyes, but take a few deep breaths and just follow your breathing. You can have a newspaper on your lap or a book, or you can be looking at your files, but you can just be quieting your mind, just stopping, taking a few deep breaths, letting go of your thoughts, being in the moment. I call it a mini meditation. meditation. I do it all the time before important meetings with my CEOs. Another one is a very mini meditation, which in the middle of a meeting, if you find yourself getting stressed or you find yourself overwhelmed by conflicting thoughts in your mind, Deborah's question was all about, how do I stop my brain from circling around with thoughts over and over and over again? Well, a micro mini meditation would be just being able to find that peaceful place in your mind. Now, how do you do that, Deborah, is practice. There is no substitute for practice. I say that over and over again in my book, and at the end of each chapter, there are practices. If you take the time each day to spend 15 or 20 minutes meditating, practicing what we just went over, but not having me send you on a journey, but just sitting quietly, quieting your mind, you get the habit. You find that your body and mind are able to replicate that situation. So you have to practice. It takes time. But there becomes a point, Deborah, where you can connect with that peace, that centeredness, that power at will. And when I'm working with people, I do that all the time. I find that roadmap within myself. But it takes practice. You have to practice this exercise on your own outside of those meetings to have the ability to do a quick meditation before a meeting or even to connect, with that state in the middle of a meeting, in the middle of stress. You have to have that resource. Now, Samuel asked for some examples of, CEOs who do that. I don't give out the names of my clients, but I can tell you that one of my CEOs of a big high-tech company that I worked with during the boom and the bust was able to get into that state of mind for staff meeting with, 15 executives, including myself, that would last, 10, 12 hours preparing for an earnings call. It was amazing how present that executive was and how through the whole meeting he didn't lose energy or focus, and he facilitated the team to prepare for the earnings call where they would say the right things. And the stock would go up. Or after the bubble burst, it would go down less. So, again, it goes back to practice. It's very practical. As a leader, the more present you are, the more your mind is not cluttered with circular thoughts, and the more attractive you are. We talk about the power of attraction in many books in The Secret. Well, it's not about wishing you were a great leader or wishing you were doing great things. It's about your state of mind. It's about being present. There is nothing more attractive and nothing more powerful than someone who is present, who is listening. I call it integrative presence. And what actually happens, and Sally asked, well, what is actually happening here, Sally? One of the questions that came in over the year, what's actually happening here, Paul? Well, what's happening is you're completely in the present, which is, the only true reality. No one's invented time machines, have they? You can't travel to the past or the future. The only reality in business, in life, is what's happening in the present. And when you're in the present, you're integrating everything that's going on around you. You're integrating all your knowledge and wisdom, what you've learned, what you've practiced. For an athlete, they're integrating their muscle tone and their automatic responses simultaneously. Integrative presence. Now, if I were playing basketball one-on-one with Michael Jordan and I was totally in the present and Michael was worried and distracted and worried about losing an endorsement or something, who would win? Well, obviously, Michael would still win. He has the skills. But all being equal, two athletes with the same skills, the same training, the one who will win is the one who is able to be in the present moment, the one who's able to get into the zone. That's what's happening. It's not the team or the athlete who wishes, as The Secret says, to be the winner. They both want to win badly. It's the team or individuals able to get into the state of integrative presence that wins. That's the difference. They are responding to the reality of the moment. And that's the secret. But it takes practice. There is no substitute for practice. There's no substitute at all. But once you learn, you can go there quickly. And I guarantee you, the level of stress in your life will go down, and the level of performance in your life will go up. And that's the magic. Are there any other questions that I can answer? I'm looking over these emails.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Okay.
As people are sending them in. For a team, let's say a key executive or a staff member or a CEO listens to this today, they read the article on how to be more effective using meditation within the work environment for personal life. How does someone bring to a team so they don't think that these guys are half-cocked coming on in and going, we're going to do meditation today.
Mm-hmm.
how do you bring along and explain how it works, and how does that process work? What have you seen that is efficient, and what doesn't work?
All right, great question. There's a section in the book where I talk about a time when I worked with a phone company who was having problems with the regulators, and over the years, regulators reduced the amount of time they were allowed to have the phone lines down from 4 days to 3 days to 2 days to 1 day, and now this final, as the team said, absurd regulation was 4 hours. In other words, if a phone line went down, they had to have a truck out there and have it repaired in 4 hours. And the team was very frustrated. It's just impossible. We're going to have to buy hundreds and hundreds of more trucks to cover our territory and crews, and the cost will be prohibitive. We'll have to pass this on to consumers. And I said, well, that's one solution that doesn't seem to work. So I gathered the team together to find a solution that actually worked. And what I told them is, what we're going to do today is we're going to find original thought. We're going to find thoughts that actually solve this problem. That's the commitment. So the first step is to set a clear goal around a practical outcome. So we were going to solve the problem of getting the lines up in 4 hours. So very focused. So you have to start with a focused result. And then I said to the team, I said, you know, we don't want any of your old ideas. We don't want old thought. We call that old wine, spelled with a W. You hear that a lot in meetings. You know, oh, well, we should do this and that. And someone's pet peeve, someone's pet idea. No. And I said, we also don't want a lot of great ideas. Great ideas, you know, let me springboard off that. Let me add another idea. And you have a whole room full of flip charts with great ideas, and, you know, none of them get implemented in the end. And they're just another, a more sophisticated version of old wine. So we don't want that either. What I say, we want original thought. And in order to find that, we need you to really listen to each other. So requiring people to listen to each other is a form of meditation. So I would say, so what I want is, if you have a thought about this, it doesn't have to be a complete thought, I want you to share that. And I want everybody to listen to the person speaking, not to think about what they're going to say, or not to think about the thought, just to listen to it. And then, before anyone else speaks, I'm going to manage this, before anyone jumps in, I'm going to count to three. I want you to reflect on what that person said before you say anything else. Creating that silence, that mini meditation. I'm not saying we're going to meditate, I'm just saying, I just want you to be silent. Take in what John said. I'll say, okay, who else? Somebody else will say something. Count to three. Listen. Reflect. Somebody else adds. Count to three. Listen, reflect, so on. Well, what happens suddenly, all those thoughts synergize, and they came up with this incredible, yet simple idea, something they hadn't thought of, because they hadn't quieted their mind down enough to think of it, is that they could put redundancy in all the lines. And if one line went down, it would switch over to the other. So there would be no downtime in the phone lines. Would it cost millions of dollars? Yes, but it wouldn't cost billions of dollars. So again, the same principle, you don't have to say, okay, now we're going to meditate, but you facilitate those moments of silence and reflection as part of the meeting, and you'll see the results go way up.
That sounds like it also increases respect, because some people might sit there and think, oh, gosh, we've heard Joey or Jim or Debbie say things over and over again, and it's just a waste of time.
Exactly. It increases respect. It builds the team, because then people really start to listen to one another. I know another way you can get into that state of mind without, causing a meditation is really listen to someone. Put your thoughts aside. Put your ideas aside. Don't think about what you're going to say next. But just be present and listen. Listen. Because speakers will tell you, people who study speaking, that the content's only 7% of the message anyway. The tone of voice and the body language is the rest, 93%. So if you listen quietly, put your thoughts aside and be present, it's a form of meditation. And yet, you're going to hear things that the person is trying to say that they may not necessarily be able to articulate. I did that once on a sales call with a CEO, and I just listened to him for about 15 minutes when he was explaining his problems to me after I introduced myself. And I wasn't thinking about what to say. I wasn't thinking about my programs. Just totally present. And after he had finished, I gave him a chance. Was there anything else? He said a few more things. Then I said, well, it sounds to me like this is the problem you're struggling with. He said, yeah. He said, I hadn't even thought of that, but that's exactly right. He turned to the HR guy, who turned pale, and said, I want Paul David Walker to talk to all of my direct reports. Well, he didn't mean he wanted me to talk to them. He wanted me to listen to him. And I closed a rather big deal right on the spot. Right on the spot, which rarely happens. And it came because I was listening. I was in the present. I was in that state of mind. That's just another example. Hope that helps.
Wow. Paul, we're going to wrap up in just a few minutes. Do you have three or four or five quick bullet points in summary that might help everybody?
Okay. One, remember that no matter how clever your thoughts are, they are still only an approximation of reality. So don't take them too seriously. learn to let go of them. Two, of course, learn to be in the present moment. Practice different ways of meditating on your own when you're in private, of listening at a very, very deep level. Practice being in the moment. Three, make a list of all the times you've ever been in the zone, you've ever been in this state of mind in your journal, and write the story down in your journal of each of these times that you were in the zone. Get as many as you can, 4, 5, 6, 10. What you want to do is understand your own roadmap into that state of mind for yourself. Okay? Remember that your thoughts are only an approximation of reality. Practice, 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 and understand your own roadmap into that state of mind. It's different for everyone, and different techniques work. If you jog and that works, jog. If you swim and that works, swim. But then learn to do it on your own by just sitting quietly. And, you know, you'll become a master.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. My name is Dana Barocca, CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. And before we close, I want to thank each of you for joining us today. And a special thanks to Paul for sharing some very powerful and useful ideas. If you have additional questions on our topic today, please contact Paul Walker directly at paul@pauldavidwalker.com. That's paul@pauldavidwalker.com. Or you can give Paul a call at area code 562-233-7861. That's area code 562-233-7861. Paul can conduct these kind of sessions by phone anywhere in the world, and is available for coaching and consulting. We've also had a number of emails today about where to purchase Paul's book, Unleashing Genius Within Yourself, Teams, and Corporations. And you can purchase them through Amazon directly or by emailing Paul. You now have the tools for improving performance for yourself and your organization through utilizing meditation. I want to thank you again for joining our series, Cracking the Personality Code, Bringing Effective Insight to Your Organizations, and we look forward to you joining our next teleconference and to speak with you soon. Thanks again. Have a great day.